Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I'm happy you're here. I know you probably have mixed feelings today, but you're here to worship God, and we love the Lord together. When was the last time you read the book of Leviticus in the Bible? Anybody ever read the book of Leviticus? All right, Karen did. Remember, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus is part of the Torah. It's a tough book. It's the holiness code for the children of Israel. The theme of this book is obey God or else. It's interesting reading. But the reason I bring it up is because it is the background for what our gospel lesson is today, because this is a powerful text, and I believe that no scripture story reveals the powerful nature of God's evolution of grace in Jesus Christ. God's evolution of grace in Jesus Christ. God's transformation from rules and shoulds and must into relationships. The relationship between Jesus and the woman at the well. All the rules and regulations of the book of Leviticus, the Levitical code, came into play here. Jewish men in Jesus' day neither spoke to or related to women who were not their wives or members of their family. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about the bruised and hurt Pharisees who would close their eyes when they saw a woman they didn't know and sometimes would walk in the walls. I mean, they were strict. Why? Because they did not know the point the woman was in her monthly cycle. And if she was unclean, then they would become unclean by being around her, and then they couldn't worship at synagogue because they would be unclean. And as we heard the story, we would discover also that this woman had been around the block a few times. She seems to have been a little promiscuous. I mean, she was giving Liz Taylor a run for her money. For whatever reason, she had a hard time remaining with one man, thus breaking another of the Levitical holiness rules. This explains why she was at the well at noon. You know, most women would go to the well in the early morning or in the evening when it was cool, but they wouldn't go at noon because it was so hot. Also, she was a Samaritan, a foreigner, a despised foreigner, and we've heard before how much the Jewish people couldn't stand the Samaritans. And there's many reasons for this, but we won't go into that now. So we can understand why the disciples were astonished and they were shocked that Jesus was not only talking to a woman, a strange woman, but this woman. And he was breaking God's holiness code every step of the way. Now, we can be stunned and disappointed that Jesus was so unholy, so blatantly breaking the law, and doing such a disgraceful thing, or we can be open to Jesus that he's bringing us a new understanding of what it means to be holy. Literally, set apart for God's purposes, holy. Not the Levitical holiness code of law and purity, this law, but rather another law, the law of love, the law of compassion, the law of understanding relationship. Jesus today is rewriting the definition of what it means to be holy, to be set apart. How did Jesus say people would know that we were his disciples? If we love one another as he loves us. In fact, again, I've said this to you before, it was driven home to me, this reality, not only in Bible study and theology and my professors, but in a dream, where I had this wise old man came to me in this dream, and this dream was in color, so it was a big dream. And the prophet said to me, "Fred, there is only one law, and that law is love. And love will burn away all impurities." And he loved this woman. No wonder Jesus had so many women followers. You'll notice right smack in the middle of Lent, you have a woman who became, in John's gospel, the first preacher of the good news. And who was the first preacher of the good news of Easter? Another woman, Mary Magdalene. So no wonder Jesus had so many women followers. They saw that he loved them, he loved all people. You see, Jesus incarnates, enfleshes, realizes, makes real a new way of being God, a new way of being human, the new way of love. He looks into the eyes of this woman at the well, this person, and accepted her as she is, and refuses to stereotype her, to judge her. Oh, she's one of them. That's why later St. Paul would say there's neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ. And Jesus turns to you and me today and he says, as disciples of Jesus, and asks us, how are we doing in this way of holiness? How are we doing in this way of grace? Are we growing in grace? Are we growing in Lent in the way of Jesus? Are we becoming more and more like him? How open are we to accepting all people who come our way and to love all people and to care for them? I mean, we love Dawn. All of us love Dawn. But for my son's wedding, it was different for me because you had Caucasians and Asians and Christians and Buddhists and heterosexuals and homosexuals. But his genius, the first part of Mark's wedding, was, all are welcome to this place. That's growing in God's grace. I remember reading about the commentaries about the eulogy for Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun. Do you remember Harry Blackmun? He was appointed by President Nixon to the Supreme Court and named there because he was a conservative. And he was a constitutional conservative on the Supreme Court, and Blackmun surprised everybody. He surprised himself by gradually broadening his understanding of the law and the intention of the law. One former law clerk of his remarked that Blackmun grew in his sensitivity to the needs of the people that were behind the legal briefs. He didn't look at them as a case or as a statistic. He looked at them as a person in a situation, in a reality. And he tried to, like the Indians talked about, walking in another person's moccasins for a mile or two. He tried to understand them, to have compassion. And based on his own Christian faith, Blackmun began to understand compassion as the basic foundation of judicial reasoning. Or, as another colleague put it, Blackmun worried about the little people, the overlooked people, the marginalized people. He cared for them. He insisted on seeing his litigants as individuals and not as abstract categories. That's the law of love. Today, in our gospel reading, Jesus loves and accepts this Samaritan woman at the well. Unheard of. But before we think that Jesus is too warm and fuzzy, to think that remember, agape is God's love. He had sloppy agape. Or, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer would say, he had cheap grace. Jesus was a compassionate realist. Jesus is the healer of the soul. He has compassionate love, and he also has tough love when he needs it. Jesus connects with the Samaritan woman spiritually, intellectually, emotionally. Then he addresses her reality and her brokenness, her sexual history, He didn't hide that. That she needed the living water of God to be healed. And she hears Jesus' words. She wasn't in denial. She is not offended by Jesus, but she's transformed by Jesus. She becomes a new person. She is empowered, no longer in denial. She sees herself honestly for who she is in God's eyes, and she wants this new life. Jesus loves us, mind, body, spirit. And that's why, as the church, and I love you as the congregation I serve, and I know your love for me, and that's why we're making these decisions here, the hard decisions. I mean, it hurts me to say maybe we shouldn't worship next Sunday, or maybe you should shut down our midweek service. There's wonderful soup and bread and our wonderful discussions. I always leave there really enlightened and inspired. And it's a great book. If you're going to grab it, it's right there, the Centered Life. But we're doing this out of love, out of compassion, because we want everybody to be healthy and safe and being able, like this woman, to share the good news and be able to do that with joy. So that's why I'm asking you, like next Sunday especially, or this week, to pray at noon every day for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. To read spiritually, especially next Sunday at home, you can read the John's Gospel, 1st and 2nd and 3rd letters of John, and a psalm a day. A psalm a day by yourself or with your family. To be with Christ even when we aren't here where ideally. But we're fasting. And we are evangelists, whether here or at home or at work. And the woman at the well is so enthused by Jesus and what he said to her and what he meant to her that she left the well behind and she runs. Notice that she doesn't walk, she doesn't think about it. She runs immediately, spontaneously into the village. To the people, the very people, the very women who gossiped about her, who rejected her. She ran to them. And she doesn't care because the living water so overwhelms her and she's so full of joy that the past is gone and the future is now. And her soul is overflowing and she needs to share the good news. She is the first evangelist in John's gospel. Sharing the living water that is gushing forth from our souls that you have too. Yes, this fallen, rejected, broken woman becomes the first evangelist in John's gospel. And other women are inspired by this. The first gospel of Easter was told by Mary Magdalene. In fact, some scholars feel the book of Hebrews was written by a woman. So the women are very important in the church. And the parts of the church that don't have women as leaders or preachers or pastors don't know their scriptures well. She exults to her friends. Come, my friends, come to the man who told me everything I've ever done. He is the God who sees us as we are. He loves us as we are. He forgives us as we are. He heals us as we are. And he is the God who empowers us to become who we are meant to be in God's eyes, made in God's image and growing in grace to be more like Christ in his likeness. Come today, receive Christ, know the living water who gives life to you, healing you, strengthening you, giving you peace. Let that living water gush forth from your souls to give life to others. Wherever you are, whatever you do, Christ is with you always, even to the end of the age. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.